Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast and another special episode. This one is a little bit different because Jessica Dixon, one of our team members, did an illustrated sermon for Vacation Bible School called What is Plaguing You? Jessica is a licensed social worker and the children's director for our church. The message speaks about the condition of our heart and that it can play a major role in our mental health. So here is Jessica.
Long ago, God's people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt. They worked hard every day, and they cried out to God for help. God heard their prayers and chose a man named Moses to lead his people to freedom. God sent Moses to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, with one simple message: "Let my people go." But Pharaoh's heart was hard. He refused to obey God. So God sent a series of plagues to show that he alone is the one true God. First, the water of Egypt turned to blood, but Pharaoh still refused. Then frogs covered the land, and still Pharaoh said no. Next came gnats, and then flies. Pharaoh was miserable, but his heart remained hard. God sent a plague that destroyed the livestock. Still, Pharaoh would not listen. Painful boils covered the people, yet Pharaoh refused to obey. Then a terrible hailstorm destroyed the land. Yet Pharaoh's heart stayed hard. After that, locusts came and ate everything that was left. Still, Pharaoh would not let God's people go. Finally, darkness covered Egypt for 3 days. Even then, Pharaoh would not surrender. Again and again, Moses came with the same message: "Let God's people go." Again and again, Pharaoh said no. Then came the final plague. God told his people to trust him and place the blood of a spotless lamb on their doorposts. That night, the Lord passed over every home marked by the blood. After seeing the terrible cost of his hard heart, Pharaoh finally gave in. He told Moses, "Go." After 400 years of slavery, God's people were finally free. They broke out of Egypt, not because they were strong, but because God was faithful. This may sound odd, but I'm thankful for the plagues, because each plague was a chance that God was giving Pharaoh, because he loved him so much. It was giving him chance after chance after chance to be able to turn from having a hard heart. And sometimes, unfortunately, it does take plagues to give that chance. But can we thank God for his grace? And so today we are going to take a look at Pharaoh and his heart. So just starting with some context, at the end of Genesis, we have Joseph, who was a ruler. An Israelite, in fact, who was a ruler, and he was praised in Egypt for what he was doing. But over time, the Israelites grew more strong and powerful, and the kings at the time started to become afraid of them and that they would be outnumbered. So when we enter Exodus chapter 1, the kings are talking about what has happened. So if you'll turn to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 1, but the verses will also be on the screen. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 8b. be. These are the kings, and they say, look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities and Ramses as supply centers for the king. So this starts with kings. Kings turn into pharaohs. And now we come to Moses and Pharaoh. And so here we are. Fear has been passed down from generation, from king to king to king to Pharaoh. And now Pharaoh has a choice to continue doing what generations have done, or he can continue to be in fear and worry that the Israelites are going to overpower them. We're not 100% in his head. We don't know what he was thinking, but a thought or a fear that might be there might be, what happens if I let these people go? Who's going to work for us? What are they going to do to us if we let them go? And so another piece of Pharaoh's heart that we're going to talk about is pride. And so if you will turn to Exodus 5, verse 2, if you have your Bibles, or you can look at the screen. This is when Moses has come to Pharaoh for the first time, and he says, let my people go, right? Speaking for the Lord, he wants us to go and offer sacrifices. Let us leave. And so Pharaoh's response is that so? And who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. And so Pharaoh was leaning on his own power and his own understanding and thinking he's powerful enough that I don't need the Lord, right? So in this case, when we're talking about pride, it's in the case of I'm powerful, or I'm all that, and I'm special, and I have this authority, and I don't need God. We do not want to be in a place where we're saying, I don't need God, right? And so Pharaoh was prideful. God had to send the plagues to try to give him a chance to turn around, not necessarily as a punishment, but to say, hey, I'm here. Turn to me, right? And so our next point is going to be about resistance. So on the next slide, you're going to see quite a few verses. We'll be here all day if we go through them all. And so we're not going to go through them, but if you take a look, these are going to be all the verses that Pharaoh resisted and said no. And by the way, if you want these verses for further study, please let me know and I will send them to you. He says no in Exodus 5:2, in Exodus 5:8-9, Exodus 7:23, Exodus 8:15, Exodus 9:6, Exodus 9:12, Exodus 10:20, Exodus 10:27, in Exodus 11:10. All of these times, either Pharaoh says no, or he gives the Israelites a condition to try to keep them from going. So even God had the grace to give Pharaoh chance after chance after chance, plague after plague after plague, for Pharaoh to turn from his ways and change his heart. But he kept saying no. He was resistant. He didn't need God. So to drive this point home, I'm going to do an illustration. And I'm going to ask you a few questions about a few objects. So here, I have a rock. Congregation, do you think this rock is hard or soft? Hard. How about this block? Do you think it is soft or hard? Hard. Thank you, by the way. When we did this Friday night and all the kids kept giving me the opposite answers on purpose. thank you. How about this cloth? Do you think it's soft or do you think it's hard? Soft. How about this sponge? Soft or hard? Thank you. Try not to make it too difficult. So here I have a bowl of water. If I dip this rock into the water, do you think it's going to keep being hard or is it going to become soft? Still hard. No surprise, right? How about this block? If I dip it in the water, do you think it's going to be hard or soft? Hard. How about this cloth? Soft? Maybe. Even the kids on Friday night, some of them said it might be even softer if you dip it into the water. Soft, right? How about the sponge? Don't worry, we're not going to do this all day. I have 10 more objects. No, I'm just kidding. Hard or soft? Soft. So what changes this is, what if I told you that this water represents God's love? This rock, or a person in this case, this block, or a person in this case, can be washed in God's love. God's going to love you no matter what, whether you're hard or whether you're soft. However, if this is your heart, you have the choice to decide if you're being washed in God's love, are you going to remain hard or are you going to remain soft and keep soaking up his love, right? And so the question would be, instead of just examining Pharaoh's heart, because the more I thought about it, the more I was like, when I read and I study this, kind of judging Pharaoh, and I'm thinking, God has given you chance after chance after chance, sent 10 plagues. You're not even curious to know who God is, and you feel like you don't need him, and you're still not letting his people go. I don't know if other people feel the same way when they read it, but that was just me. But then the more that I studied it, I realized, are we really that different from Pharaoh? Because we all have things that we're afraid of. You know, what is it that you might be afraid of? Are you afraid of people overpowering you? Maybe you have a great position at your job and there's someone who has a lot of talents, and so you're afraid they're going to come and take over. Or are you afraid all your workers are going to go away? Or maybe you're afraid of what other people think. And so, yeah, we have things that we're afraid of, just like Pharaoh and generations before him were afraid. What are we prideful of? Are there areas in your life where you're taking control? God may be asking you to do something, or God may be trying to tell you something, and it's, I don't need to do what God asked me to do, or I'm not doing that. Or what ways are you just leaning in your own understanding, right? I'm going about my day doing things as I want to do it, maybe rather than asking God what his plan is for my life. And my last one question to you is, what are you resisting? So if you don't know God, you may feel like he's been pursuing you or he's been trying to help you with your life, but you're resisting. You're saying no for whatever reason that might be, right? Maybe you're not even curious. It's just, I'm good with my life. I don't need God. Or maybe you might be a fellow believer and there are things that God is asking you to do, but you're still resisting. Maybe he's told you what your plan is, do that job, serve in that ministry, talk to that person, and you think, no, God, I don't think so. I'm not doing that. And so while he still loves us either way, right, we could also continue to be serving him and doing better with our lives rather than resisting. And then we don't necessarily have to have plagues sent to help us turn from our ways. Though I am thankful for those because, again, that shows God's grace in that he gives us chance after chance to turn around because he loves us. And so maybe you're thinking about this, or at least I hope so, and you might think, okay, I've had a hard heart. Maybe there are things I'm afraid of. Maybe there are situations in my life where I feel like I haven't been leaning on God. And so maybe I do want to soften my heart. So there, we're going to look at three ways to be able to do that. And the first one is going to be trusting God. And our verse is going to be Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Which has actually been a verse that we've been talking about for a few weeks now amongst the different series and sermons. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So instead of being so afraid, you know, what's going to happen? How's it going to happen? How are we going to do this? Is this person going to overpower me? Is this person not going to take care of me? We lean on God and trust that he's going to tell us that path to take, and he's going to light it up, and he's going to tell us what to do. And if we're spending time with God, whether that's in prayer or reading your Bible, or maybe even just removing the distractions and sitting with him in stillness, we'll be able to hear his voice more and let him talk and lean on him and guide that path instead of focusing on the fear and trying to trust in him. The second is going to be repentance. So going back to, in opposition to pride, we said pride is not needing God. So we would think about the opposite of pride would actually be humbleness. Humbleness is submitting ourselves to God. But before we do that, we want to turn from our ways. So when we do junior Bible quiz, there's a question and it asks what repentance is. And so the way that the kids have learned it with junior Bible quiz is that repentance is a change of heart, mind, and direction. And so we want to have that change in heart first, coming to God and saying, hey, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been trusting my own understanding. I haven't been leaning on you. I haven't been letting you guide my paths. So in turn, we want to repent, and then we want to humble ourselves and turn to God instead of being like Pharaoh, who just kept saying, no, I don't know the Lord. I don't need him. So we're going to go to our next verse. It's going to be Acts 3:19. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. So this is a two-step direction here, right? We repent It's that notion of saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe I haven't been leaning on you. Or Lord, I'm sorry I've been afraid. Or Lord, I'm sorry that I've been resisting you. And then we're going to turn to God, right? And let him direct us. And so our last point here is going to be about surrendering. Surrendering, in this case, being the opposite of resistance. So we saw, I've talked about how many times Pharaoh resisted God, right? It was no, sent a plague, no, sent a plague, no, sent a plague, sent a plague, right, etc. And he still said no, chance again after chance and plague after plague for him to be able to turn and say, God, I need you, right? But he still said no. And so we want to try to make sure that we're not being resistant. Again, God may be asking you to do that, certain instruction he's given you, or God may ask you to talk to that person, or God may have asked you to do something that seems scary, and we just keep saying, no. This goes for people who don't know the Lord, and maybe they're just resisting him, but it also goes for fellow believers as well. You may have known the Lord for 30 years, but sometimes we still say no. Our flesh can still get in the way. And so I just encourage you to keep thinking on what are you afraid of? What are you prideful over? What are you resisting? But remember that there's grace and there's hope. We can trust God, right? We can repent and turn to him. And then we can surrender to him. So we're going to go to Galatians 2:20. And Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so when we talk about crucifixion, this doesn't mean necessarily that we're hanging on a cross. It's a symbol of that. Die to myself daily. And dying to yourself daily in this case might be, am I letting fear go, right? And trusting in the Lord and surrendering what I'm afraid of to him. Do I stop leaning on my own understanding and thinking I don't need God? And do I surrender to him? And do I repent? And so when we think of surrender, or in this case, when I think of surrender, I think of war or a wrestling match and someone is tapped out. They're like, I give, right? Or when someone waves a white flag. And a lot of times in that case, when someone's surrendering, they think it's a shame. Like, I lost, right? Or it's painful for them. It's a losing attitude. But for us, surrendering to the Lord does not have to feel like we're waving a white flag in shame. It's a waving a white flag that says, I've turned to God. He's washed me clean and I can be righteous. It's something that we can be proud of and we can lean on the Lord. So Tim, you can go ahead and come on up. And prayer team, you can go ahead and come on up. Just watch out for our livestock here. And everybody, why don't you go ahead and stand with me. And let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. This moment is not about who's doing what, who's raising their hands. This moment is just between you and God. Or if we go with Pastor Russell from Kids Camp, he says, if I see your eyeballs, then you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have two options here. Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you think you don't know God or you don't need him. And so if you feel like the Lord's been pursuing you, or maybe you're just curious about the Lord, or you're feeling a weight on your heart about knowing the Lord, because maybe you don't, would like for you to, one, either you can come up to the front and have someone pray with you, or maybe this is a moment that it's between you and God and you do want to stay in your seat. That's okay too, because we are going to pray with you. So if you don't know the Lord and you would like to, we would like to give you that chance. And so either one, you can come up front if you're comfortable, you want a person to pray with you, or you can slip your hand up. We will all pray with you. Our second prayer goes back to, you could have known the Lord for 2 months. You could know the Lord for 30 years. Maybe you've known the Lord for 50 years. But sometimes our flesh still gets in the way. Like I said earlier, we all have things that we're afraid of. We all have things that maybe we could be leaning on God for, but we are doing it ourselves. Or maybe God has asked us to do something and we are resistant to it. Maybe because we're afraid, or we're resistant because we plainly just don't want to do it. So if there's something on your heart today, whether it's fear, pride, resistance, it could be anything, really. We have the prayer team up here and you can come pray with them. And also know, maybe there's something going on in your heart that has absolutely nothing to do with what we've talked about today. And that's okay too. Please feel free to come up and pray. And what I would like to do for those who maybe have things going on in their heart, they don't want to speak about it or pray with someone, but you have this moment between you and God, I would like to just pray over you and pray with you. And so let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I just want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for having the grace to give us chance after chance after chance to turn to you, Lord. And that grace is never ending. We have our whole lives to be able to turn to you, Lord. And I'm praying peace over the people who may have fear in their hearts, Lord. I pray that they turn and they learn to trust you, Lord. We repent and we're sorry for the sins that we've done, or we're sorry, Lord, for not leaning on you in those times that we could lean on you. But Lord, we're repenting and we're turning towards you. We lean on you from now on, Lord, and we are going to surrender. And it's the best kind of surrender. It's not full of shame or loss. It's a surrender that's joyous, and it's the best kind of surrender, Lord, that we can give. And so we just thank you, Lord, for being with us, for saving us, for sending Jesus, who shed his blood, died on the cross, and rose from the grave so that we could have that grace and so that we could have that chance. We're thankful, Lord, that we get to know you. And I just pray that you continue to be on everyone's hearts, Lord. Continue to grow in their life. Just continue to give them wisdom and discernment, Lord, as we go out and we be the church. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So can we give God a shout of praise or a clap and be thankful for what he's done today?
Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.